morning, Renu.
Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Wazo.
Good morning, Wazo.
Today is 21st of November 2014. And?
And today I thought we would talk about an article that came out in AVNet that Krishna from Solitude, who runs Solitude Farm, wrote, and it was basically on the contribution demanded of volunteers.
Yeah.
It seems the policy on the contribution to the volunteers has changed, and none of us would have heard about it, in fact, if we hadn't insisted that, you know, this be also, it was only sent out to the volunteers. But then Krishna told me that she said to Savi, you better send this out to the people who take the volunteers, because it makes a big difference to those who receive volunteers.
Especially we at the Red, we have the experience with volunteers in...
Since many years.
Yeah. We started in 2004 accepting volunteers to come in the radio. And frankly, I'm saying 90% of the work that has been done at the radio is thanks to the work that the volunteers joined the radio, more than 250, did. Mm. So we really, and I think Oroville can it's a living body, that most of the job is thanks to the well-wished people that comes and work with us.
Mm. So what do you feel? Because I feel also like, okay, in the past, like, we all pay a monthly contribution to Oroville. So I don't know exactly what was the amount, volunteer contribution, 900 rupees a month. We all pay 1,300 or so a month. What would be the difference for you between a volunteer being waived from that? I mean, we're also all volunteers in a way. Okay, we've chosen to live here. Is that the difference?
I think we need to keep the heart open, because we have many, many kind of different people coming here. Most of them will be very happy to contribute 900 rupees and sometimes maybe more. Some other that doesn't have the really this little amount, especially if they come from poor countries. Also, India is not a very rich country. So I will not make just a line and say, you are this person, you pay this one. You are that person, you pay that much. We need to be flexible. We need to see each of us, each of them, and talk with them and see what is the situation. We cannot make it just again a law, a rule, a policy and apply it, because it will not work out and will create more and more issues in Oroville, like, and we have so many now, because again, the people, they doesn't know, there is no participation in the decision making process. It's just an application of some logical
thinking by some people in financial service. And I think this is what it comes down to, is that there is a real disconnect between the administrative bodies and what the people are living.
Yeah, it's a logic, logic of the budget, no? So you need money, so suddenly you try to look everywhere where we can find some income. So then they decide that for the voluntaries to pay the waiver, because we lost apparently some money before, no? There is this idea also that the volunteers work only 2-3 months after they disappear somewhere. So there was this kind of...
And apparently there was a huge loss because of this change.
Yeah.
Because Savi had been like making changes, and Savi has been doing a good job to help with, you know, already the visa being able to be converted from a volunteer into a, you know...
Entry visa.
So that's fantastic.
They got too much abuse, what they said.
Yeah, probably there are abuse also in other areas, but if you work in your mind that you are protecting by abuse, you become an abused, finally, by yourself, by your rules.
Yeah.
You are not anymore free to let the people express.
Yeah.
For sure, there are people that are not behaving well in different fields, but if you take this exception...
And then impose it on everybody else.
And then we become much worse than the West countries.
This is what we've done in many, many things in Oroville. You know, there is, for me, a lot of a utilitarian mindset. Like, there's a magic Oroville, and then there's the Oroville that you have to encounter, which is the administrative Oroville. And I think part of what irritates, saddens, and disappoints me, and why I'm often angry and vocal, is because I feel like the magic Oroville has to be given as much space to show itself, and the administrative Oroville cannot be there constantly overtaking it. And it's the opposite, though. What I feel like I see is the administrative Oroville is just engulfing and you know, everything and sort of killing this little bit of magic that exists here and there. And my point also is that if each of us feel like we're Auroville and we're a cell of a body, then it stands to reason that, you know, somebody like Krishna, who's it's up to him to work it out with the volunteer and have that flexibility and ability as a living representative of Auroville.
That's,
so, well, the problem with me with all of these things and all of these administrative rules is you're constantly illegal. Suddenly you're a cell in the body and then you're told you're illegal, you have no rights, you can't do this, you can't make that law. So this is what is profoundly wrong.
Yeah, I think also in the same post of Krishna was a good answer, a really good answer of Akash Kapoor.
Yeah, what did he say?
He said that, frankly, the people that are engaged in some kind of area, they have to take care of them, their own business. So if you are in the forest, you take care of the forest, everything that is related to the forest, business forest, in economical side, business forest, in the how many trees you have to cut or you have to plant.
So you have to give that confidence that that person is doing that. The problem is the administrative system.
The centralization is not good. That is the problem. Also, Manoj was observing in the same post that the centralization, it doesn't work. It's making our life less rich and less happier than it was before. So we have to see what we are doing and maybe try to find some solution. And I would like to talk about Alon and Batel. And it was two persons that were in 2010, 2011, they joined Auroville for 1 year and from Israel, and they did a long process with all the community, creating the integrated sustainability platform. It was more or less the same kind of thing. So practically they created areas like culture, like economical, like communication, like forest and development. And they invited people that were engaged in this area to discuss. And that was a very long workshop with a very beautiful outcome. Where also the official body were invited and people from the official body came, but at the end of the day, as usually, nothing happened. It was in a nice cupboard and it's still there.
I was in Lavenir, and Lavenir was the one that blew it out of the water. Some for practical reasons, some also for they had a little bit of a rigid attitude, but they did an incredible good work and it could have been put to use, but they came across a lot of resistance in Lavenir that felt that, you know, this was totally, you know, another invented thing. And in parts, a little bit it was, because it's not so different from what we're doing. What was different is that the groups were open. And like, for example, the point exactly that why it came to a close in Lavenir was they had their own water cell, and we had constituted our own water cell of people that we knew were involved with water. Their water cell didn't necessarily have the Auroville professionals. And then that created a conflict. Who has the final say? We have the final say. They have the final say. And so there. That was the beginning of the end of that experiment.
Okay.
Before it even started.
Okay. And that's bad. We need to start the experiments.
There was no will to experiment.
If we not if you don't make the experiment starting, if you don't see our limitation, we will never be able to make steps. We will always be close to make other rules, other protection in policy to avoid having troubles. And that's not the way Auroville should evolve. And
here's the thing. Also, for me, it's really like this utilitarian mindset. With when I talk about the centralization and the thing, and when I talk about the magic, if that is imposing on everything, everything has a logic. This whole experiment of Auroville is not logical.
Absolutely not.
So let's go to say that nothing is logical.
No, it should not.
Yeah, it should not. Yeah, it's true. It's my feeling also.
So the mental does not like that. The mental likes to create order, rules, and all. And here's another thing that personally I feel is very wrong. Because we are constantly grappling for control in our lives, control in how we run things and everything like that. You know, I think it's wrong, for example, that housing makes housing contingent on your entry. Today, it's you put deposit 2 lakhs, otherwise you're not an Aurovillian, or you sign up for this, or you do that. This for me is what is wrong, because you're seeking more authority out of your area. Your job is to look for housing, to propose schemes, to find ways. Your job is not to deal with entry. Entry has been dealing with entry. So when each group keeps trying to put its tentacle into another area so they can have a greater sphere of influence, I find it very unhealthy. I understand why the housing is doing
they
that.
They have a good reason to do that, but finally the result is not positive.
It is not a good way. What they have to do is work, what the entry has to tell them is you have no housing guarantee at all. Please go and see housing for their various schemes. Then it's up to housing to come and say, yes, look, we have this, this is what we suggest. But you don't make it and or. This is what
What I feel is that there is more and more rules. Even they want to make an authority about development. I read somewhere, no? So they need to have more and more administrative power in order to obtain some result, no? This is very bad. It means that the base wants something else, have another feeling. We feel that there is too much this administration's power. It's all time. And all time we want to put more power to the administrative, no? This is the problem, like for the working committee. Why is so important? Why people are so fighting to be in the working committee? For me, I don't understand this kind of stuff also, no? Why is it so important? For me, the more important is to be an Eurovillian, and you do your stuff. And me, personally, I don't care who is in the working committee, who is not. I know that there is some important things to do.
There's two reasons. One, you're not guaranteed food or a maintenance, even if you're an Eurovillian. So actually, the economy policy makes the entry group obsolete already.
Exactly.
So you see what I'm saying? Everything is contingent to everything. Because before you had to, had to go through an entry group. Why? Because once you're an Eurovillian, we take you in. We shoulder your expenses. You are part of the body. Mm. But today, you're not part of the body. I don't have a job. I don't eat. You know what I mean? So the whole thing is ridiculous.
Yeah, it becomes more and more ridiculous. It becomes more and more administrative with this distance between the feeling that we have with people, and suddenly how the administrations manage to cut all enthusiasm, all feeling.
And the thing is also with the administrative people, and I feel bad for the financial service because I feel like they're also very stuck. I understand that they are constantly dealing with a 26 lakh per month deficit that they have to invent. So that probably creates kind of a stress and they're looking for other places. But the thing is, it has clamped on generosity. We have no say where the money goes. We have a group called the BCC that makes it. Nothing comes out in the open. Nothing is discussed. We've lost this habit. And when we do discuss things in the open, it's so horrible. We say, oh, better not. Better we go back to our five people and discuss it. So we have lost the habit of how to discuss things among each other for a positive outcome that makes sense. We are no longer responsible.
We lost it. Huh?
We've lost the habit of doing it, and when we do it, we do it very badly and violently, so nobody wants to go back and doing it. You're going to have a Paul Vincent shouting, or you're going to have a Bertrand walking out, or a Paulette telling you 5 hours a day. Whatever it is, we all know what everybody's going to say. So nobody wants to go to these meetings and be dominated by them, and that's my point of view.
Yeah, that is your observation and your point of view. I want to share something else, the positive side.
Go for it.
Luckily, the dream of Oro is still very much alive. The people that I met, the people that they come here at the radio, the people that I see on the road, they are smiling with the smile of the people that were here 20, 30 years ago. Because Oro is doing well, finally, in spite of our all issues and limitation and not ability to deal with the reality in a way that is positive for everybody. The people that comes are still in this kind of mindset, and we need to preserve this kind of mindset they have. We need to really make them alive, the life of newcomers and the volunteers, better, because that's our future. If you are going to think of your future as a black future, you will make really not what is supposed to be Oroville. We need the energy of the young people, the students and the newcomer, to be again on leading our daily life, not be last of the last of the last. Now the newcomer, I'm not saying that are exploited, but poor fellow. It's a hard life. And
well, I think it's very strange that the first Eurovillians have staked out all the land, have decided what the plan of the city is, have decided the rules, have decided the money. That's hardly a place that belongs to nobody in particular where you can come and participate on an equal footing.
Yeah.
I mean, if the first Eurovillians already
took everything,
took everything, and then that's very exploitive.
Yeah, but luckily the dream of Oroville is much bigger than the exploitation
exactly.
that we have been able to create in the last 30, 40 years. I'm talking exploitation in a wrong way. I don't want to use this word. I'm saying the work that has been done, with the best intention.
Yeah, that is always still alive and good, and that has and that can be seen. It's physically visible, and we also know how difficult every single thing to make and do and build is here. So the, one does have to appreciate, and one can understand maybe why there's this tension, perhaps because to do one single thing here is hard.
It's hard.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. But we have people to come every day to knock on our door and say, can I come? Can I join you? Can I help you? So we have to say, yes, please come, welcome, and give a place to stay and give a piece of paper to say, this is the minimal thing that you need to know. And then you will make your own experience. Because, again, if you think about the past and you make...
For me, the charter of Oroville is the one paper that one should just say, look, this is what we're really trying to do. Help us do this.
Yeah.
This is the bottom line. And everything else that we interpret in between is a shame and a travesty to what the charter is. So we should always just go back to that.
Absolutely true. Welcome. Thank you. Today... We close like that.
Yes, it was. We was not in Hervé today. It was more quiet.
Yeah. Because I started.
Probably.
I think it's because I'm taking antihistamines.
Yeah, brain is a little sick, so it doesn't have the full energy. But we promise next week we'll be very nervous.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Bye bye.
See you next time.